Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook paper and pen to take notes during the show. What we have been doing for some months now is exploring the myths about money. Our money system is not what we have been led to believe. The creation of money has been privatized or taken over by a private money cartel. Except for coins, all of our money is now created as loans advanced by private banking institutions, including the private Federal Reserve. Banks create the principal, but not the interest, to service their loans. To find the interest, new loans must continually be taken out, expanding the money supply, inflating prices, and robbing you of the value of your money. We've been specifically looking at a book called The Web of Debt, which unravels the deception and presents a clear picture of the financial abyss towards which we are heading. It then explores workable alternatives, particularly one that was tested in colonial America and is grounded in the best of American economic thought, including the writings of Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln. It helps us to analyze and improve our own financial security, personally and nationally, and to deeply understand the cause of the problems we are personally experiencing financially. In the last shows, I started looking at solutions specifically, starting with the critical issues. After a lengthy journey into the Web of Debt book, in particular by Elizabeth Brown, I have been focusing now on solutions that the Thrive movement has offered, actually analyzing a lot of what the Web of Debt exposes, and stepping into a very broad, integrated response, which actually, as we will see, eventually goes way beyond just economics. So I ended the last show looking at solution issues from the Thrive movement, which, of course, you can read about yourself by going to their website, thrivemovement.com. We started investigating the What Can I Do? Top 10 actions. As a quick overview, those actions are: get informed, speak up, and connect with others. 2 is bank locally. 3 is buy and invest responsibly. 4, join the movement to audit and end the Federal Reserve. 5, keep the internet fair and open. 6, support independent media. 7, support organic non-GMO farming. 8, require election and campaign finance reform. 9, advocate for renewable and free energy. And 10, take part in critical mass actions. We started to go into each one of those points and left off with the advocation for renewable and free energy. This, again, is an important point in the overall debt picture that we live in. The concept that fossil fuels is really the only way we can live has wreaked havoc on so many areas of our economic and social lives. The burning of fossil fuels is polluting the air, fueling war and global conflict, and breeding dependency on oil-rich countries. But efficient, sustainable alternatives exist that can revolutionize the energy industry. In a simple way, you can help make this shift by reducing your reliance on fossil fuels, supporting clean alternatives, and spreading the word about new energy technologies. You can promote new energy technologies with a critical mass of others. You can go to the Thrive website, thrivemovement.com, and sign up for critical mass actions. This helps promote the development, protection, and dissemination of new energy technologies. Also, you can reduce your reliance on fossil fuels. You buy less petroleum-based products. 93% of American plastics start with natural gas or oil. Avoid single-use plastic products as much as possible. And we will also look at 10 things drivers can do to cut down on oil consumption. And another thing one can do is help create a green-collar economy. People in Minnesota, for example, are making a transition to a green economy by installing solar, educating students, training new workforce, creating urban gardens, retrofitting homes, and more. In fact, we're doing the same thing here in Fairfield, Iowa. But you can also check out the video on the Thrive website, Green Jobs for Minnesota, to see how they are doing it. The website greenforall.org also offers opportunities to get involved and transition away from our reliance on fossil fuels while providing jobs for those who need it most. As a foundation to a lot of this in the last show, we looked at visions of new energy. One of the great people in the energy field was Nikola Tesla, who was the inventor of the alternating current motor. He had some amazing breakthroughs, and yet he was financially tied to the robber baron Morgan, who in a sense destroyed Tesla because of Morgan's financial interest in copper wire. Historically, new energy devices may go back to the Ark of the Covenant and beyond. The Ark is the primary physical artifact treasured by the three major religions of the West, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Author, researcher Graham Hancock and many others have concluded that it was not a repository of Moses' mystical tablets, but something much more real and practical, an electric capacitator box formed of acacia wood in phi proportions and coated inside and out with gold, including two large electrodes, gold cherubim, on the top. The design fits the technical specifications for such a device. It's difficult to imagine, according to Forster Gamble, that this was all a coincidence, given the expense and planning involved, and the fact that people were warned to only lift it with wooden poles and not to touch the device because the power of it might kill them. Now, how might they have known about such an advanced energy technology thousands of years ago? Historical records do not give us the clear answer. But if we look at what has happened in the last century or so, we know there have been impressive legacies of more recent genius inventors all over the world, from Tesla, Moray, Gray, Schauberger, De Palma, Bedini, Lindemann, and Adams, to Trombley, Inomata, Tiwari, Bearden, Nowden, and many, many more. These people have been developing radiant energy, permanent magnet-powered motors, mechanical heaters, super-efficient electrolysis, implosion, vortex engines, cold fusion technology, solar-assisted heat pumps, and more. If you have any interest in learning more about these specific new energies, you can go to the Thrive Movement website and get from there the links to, for example, Bruce De Palma's own website and Peter Lindemann's website and several others, including the Top 5 Exotic Free Energy Technologies List website. There is also a feature-length documentary on the subject called Race to Zero Point. All of these will give you some basic direction in learning about and pursuing new energy. And I'll come back to this in a moment. If you are just tuning in, this is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. The next question that comes up is, well, if we've had all of these great discoveries, how come we're not using them? What happened to them? Why don't we know about them? Well, George Orwell has an answer to this in part. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. As the Thrive website points out, while these inventors are being relentlessly and often brutally suppressed by the financial elite, by national governments, and by delusion and dishonesty among some of the inventors, it's almost impossible to get a collective awakening on the creative discoveries. It's certainly not happening in schools, in part because the education system is controlled by the same economic factors that industry and the banks use. In essence, just producing more workers for the infrastructure that is already there to benefit the top of the pyramid. One example of the suppression goes back at least as far as the early 20th century when Nikola Tesla tapped into what he called radiant energy. It sparked white instead of gold. It ran cold instead of hot in wires. He was going to offer it to the world wirelessly, so all you needed was an antenna in your yard to access it, as easy as a radio or TV today. But his financier, J.P. Morgan, did not want to risk the fortune he was making off of controlling the copper mines that provided the wires for conducting the electricity, so he shut Tesla down. The same banker, J.P. Morgan, who prohibited Nikola Tesla from making abundant energy available wirelessly, also suppressed key scientific truths about how energy works. In the early 20th century, he used his financial influence in education to delete from textbooks the knowledge that can lead to creating such devices. A quote from Tom Bearden, an inventor and author of Energy from the Vacuum, he says, J.P. Morgan got Lorentz to cripple the Heaviside equations so that the new EE, electrical engineering, concepts being taught in the universities would not ever contain free energy and over-unity systems. This deliberate mutilation and crippling of electrical engineering is the real and single cause of our dependence on oil and of much of the pollution of our biosphere. The High Cabal, Churchill's name for the secret consortium of elite families and organization we loosely refer to as the control groups, has been ruthlessly suppressing free energy inventions for a century, including by direct assassinations. Having personally survived several such assassination attempts, I have experienced what I'm speaking of. Again, as Tom Bearden, who is an inventor. Now, for most of us, this may all seem very strange. But, like the notion of a round Earth going around the sun and even heavier than air flying machines seemed impossible not too long ago. The notion of clean, inexpensive energy for everyone, however, is a threat to those who want to soak every last dollar out of fossil fuels, and especially those who would use control of energy to dictate people's lives. Obviously, free energy would be a massive threat to the oil industry. An inventor, Adam Trombley, is quoted as saying, shortly before his death in 1943, Tesla had submitted a proposal to FDR to counter the damaging potential of fission-based nuclear energy development. He claimed in his proposal to the president that he knew of a method by which we could get all of the energy we could ever use from the space that surrounds us. The meeting that was scheduled with FDR as a result of this proposal never occurred. Tesla was found dead in his New York apartment. The official report attributed his death to natural causes, but many were not satisfied that this was the case. Again, that's Adam Trombley. Claiming national security issues, the U.S. Patent Office has confiscated over thousands of technologies during application for patents as alternate energy devices. Then the government turns around and bankrupts our treasury, invading another Middle Eastern country to take over their oil, creating devastation and dangerous blowbacks in the process. If free energy were just a hoax, why would the government take such harsh measures to confiscate any trace of it? Almost always, the U.S. government's response to any hint of success from new energy inventors has been to raid their labs with an armed FBI or SWAT team to confiscate the equipment and to issue a document like the following. Secrecy Order, Title 35, United States Code, 1952, Sections 181 to 188. Notice, to the applicant above named, his heirs, and any and all of his assignees, attorneys, and agents, hereinafter designated principals. You are hereby notified that your application, as above identified, has been found to contain subject matter, the unauthorized disclosure of which might be detrimental to the national security, and you are ordered in no wise to publish or disclose the invention or any material information with respect thereto, including hitherto unpublished details of the subject matter of said application, in any way to any person not cognizant of the invention prior to the date of the order, including any employee of the principals, but to keep the same secret except by written consent first obtained of the Commissioner of Patents under the penalties of 35 U.S.C. 182 to 186. And this continues for paragraphs. This is a gag order. And in sum, once again, you can go to the Thrive Movement website and see some of the links of collections of stories of suppression of the types of devices that could restore our atmosphere and our economy. One in particular that is interesting is a congresswoman who had the courage to step up in favor of new energy, an action to declassify secret energy patents by Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. That's a link that you should spend some time with. There have been some objections to new energy. Some people say that accessing so much energy would be dangerous. People might use it unwisely, or it might get out of control. Forrest Gamble's response is, isn't that where we are already with the uranium and plutonium of nuclear power, which we know is the most toxic substance on Earth? Aren't we already destroying our air and water with coal and oil? Aren't we already risking life as we know it in an era when nuclear weapons could come into the fray at any moment? Then others say that we shouldn't have free energy because it would fuel weapons that could fly vast distances to deliver payloads around the planet. Again, Forrest Gamble says we already have missiles, submarines, bombers, weaponized weather control technology, space laser, and directed energy weapons that can strike anywhere on Earth. And one other comment is that we are not conscious enough yet to have free energy. And Forrest Gamble's response to that is, again, we already have chain reaction weapons that could destroy all life as we know it. He believes the shift to an awareness of our interconnectedness and of the infinite abundance in which we live will emerge simultaneously with the science and technology that prove it. Cheap, clean access to energy, along with honest money, will liberate the human spirit in an unprecedented manner. Those who don't want universal access to energy are among those few who have plenty already. Brian O'Leary, who wrote Reinventing the Earth, said, for understanding free energy and such concepts as UFOs and ETs, many more of us will need to have the courage to awaken these greater truths, even if they appear bizarre at first blush. Unfortunately, our culture has fragmented itself into so many fractions that do not communicate with one another. Our expanded knowledge and awareness are artificially kept away from us. There are too many vested interests among scientists, industrialists, and governmental officials to acknowledge free energy, yet it exists. O'Leary says, I believe that the awakening will require that we move even beyond the sensible democratic policies of achieving sustainability and curbing the power of multinational and governments who continue to profit while devastating the planet. We will need to examine who we are, why we're here, what happens after our lives on Earth, and how our consciousness can heal ourselves and the world around us. And that's the end of the quote. And I'll return to this in a moment. If you're just tuning in, this is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Lipczak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. This energy transformation is obviously not a light matter nor an easy transition. We are, however, seeing some great strides forward in solar and wind power, even here in Iowa, so there is definitely progress. Many have tried to bring to market working new energy devices. None have really succeeded at the level that would and could benefit the average person. It's going to take many hundreds of millions, perhaps billions of dollars, to turn this corner. And that is a small price to pay, considering the cost of not doing it and the savings when we are successful. The funding would need to provide for R&D, security, educational marketing, manufacturing and distribution, and a very substantial legal defense fund to protect against the legal actions that would likely be mounted by current controllers to try and protect the future sales of the oil, coal, and gas in their $200 trillion underground piggy banks. As proof of viable, marketable new energy devices becomes available, the ripples through the economic world will start immediately. The transition using the technology will be faster than cell phone, but still take years. The stock market, however, would react immediately with unprecedented movement of capital out of the coal, oil, and gas companies and into the new energy developers. The effects on personal prosperity of not having to pay fuel, heating, and electricity bills would be thrilling. Imagine how different your life would be with little or no taxes and little or no energy costs. Picture that extra cash available for owning your home, your car, voluntary, creative thinking, critical thinking education, organic food, preventative medicine, holistic health care, savings, and responsible investment. With such prosperity, the evidence is that people would take care of one another far better than governments do. Imagine pristine skies and no asthma. Think of drinkable water in our streams and rivers. You go on the internet and innovative inventors are being rewarded, awarded, and celebrated instead of gagged, threatened, or assassinated. Let yourself enjoy the notion of no wars of aggression fighting over resources. Envision flying among the stars and through time and space in fuel-less vehicles. New energy is really a critical foundational step in dealing with debt from the global level down to the national level and down to the individual level. In a sense, people just need to awaken to the possibility and we could have a shift in the paradigm. As John Hutchison, a new energy and anti-gravity inventor, said, "Everything is connected to everything else, in my opinion. Hardcore physics, outer fringe physics, cosmology, you name it, biology, electrochemistry, it's all part of the one universe. All fossil fuels, all nuclear fuels, get them out of the way and employ technologies that work in the natural sense, with the space-time continuum and with nature. Mankind really needs to get its act together instead of focusing on greed and war and oil and focus on more promising future in medicine, health, energy, environment, and really get a roll on, similar to the NASA project when everyone was excited about going to the moon, so that mankind has something better to do than pick on its neighbors, fighting over race, color, and things like that. The technology itself has to come out into the world. The problem is, to date, we the public, we the people, have not been sufficiently informed to demand the liberation of these ideas and devices. But if we are fortunate, all that is changing now. So put some attention on new energy technologies that expand even beyond solar and wind. In the meantime, let's look a little more specifically at oil-based reality. From Mother Nature Network, an article called The Gulf-Friendly Product Guide, Alternatives to Petroleum-Based Goods. We have some thoughts. You might have known that candles have petroleum byproducts, but how about chewing gum or laundry detergent? What Mother Nature Network gives is a few ways to use less oil. We learned that the Gulf disaster brought into cruel relief our reliance on petroleum-based products and made it all too clear how much that reliance is costing us and our environment. Reducing our dependence on oil means burning less gas by carpooling, taking public transportation, bicycling, and walking. But we consume oil in many everyday products without even knowing it, and excess plastic packaging only adds to the problem. We will look at how oil is used in products and how to stretch our resources further by choosing petroleum-free products, recycling plastic waste, and buying items with recycled content. And we'll get started on that in this show. Plastic food storage containers, packaging, and cups. The petroleum problem. Almost all of the plastics found in a typical American kitchen are made from petroleum-based polymers. Several different variations of these synthetic plastics make up almost everything from milk jugs to insulation products to packaging. If you buy in bulk, bring your own containers and cups, or otherwise reduce your use of packaging wherever feasible. Reuse plastic food containers like yogurt cups where you can, and look for products packaged in recycled content and recyclable materials. Bioplastics or compostable plastics made from renewable resources may be preferable to synthetic polymers, especially if they are made from agricultural waste such as bagasse or straw, but better still are stainless steel products or glass containers, which are long-lived and more readily recyclable than most plastics. As for beverage containers, when on the go, consider bringing a reusable water bottle to avoid the need to purchase single-use beverage containers. If you do need to buy single-use beverages, you may be able to choose aluminum cans or glass bottles instead of plastic bottles. Recycle used beverage containers too. Now, laundry detergent. The petroleum problem is that the majority of laundry detergents are derived from petroleum and also contain other harmful chemicals. The alternative, which is Gulf-friendly, is look at plant-based biodegradable products. The Natural Products Association, which requires that 95% of ingredients must be derived from natural sources, now certifies cleaners and detergents. According to Seventh Generation, if the 107 million U.S. households each replaced a single bottle of conventional detergent with one using plant-based ingredients, the total oil savings could provide a year's heating and cooling for 8,500 homes. The next product is gum. The petroleum problem is gum was originally made from natural chicle, but now its long-lasting rubbery consistency comes from petroleum-based polymers. Goodyear, the tire and rubber company, actually supplies Wrigley's gum with a large portion of its main ingredients. Yum! The Gulf-friendly alternative, there are still a few brands of gum that can be found in health food stores or online that use natural chicle and no petroleum products. However, if you're looking for something a little more accessible, try satisfying your minty cravings with natural herbal mints. And we'll continue with this in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous, debt manageable life.